Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you out there in Stand in the Gap territory. I'm Gary Dahl on behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, and we are delighted to have you with us today. I want to mention that coming up in the second segment, we are going to be having Jack Kranz with us. And Jack is the Executive Director of County Corrections Gospel Mission. He's been the administrative chaplain of the Chester County Prison for 42 years. He's the chaplain for the Pennsylvania State Police, and he's the founder of Citygate Mission in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and we are going to be having him with us. He's also team director of Point Man Leadership Institute, and above all, he addresses the heart cries of the criminal justice to the church. So we're going to be having him with us today during that second segment, and we encourage you to listen. I'm sure that it will be a blessing and a challenge. Also, this is Phone In Friday, and we will not be taking calls until after 12:30. And the number to call, of course, is 1-877-667-1180. And the local number in the Philadelphia area where our flagship station is located, which, of course, is WFYL, the local number there is 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. So if something is said during this first half hour that you want to talk about, maybe you want to ask a question, maybe you want to make a statement, please do so. We do this every Friday. It's called Phone In Friday. And we are delighted to have you with us today and encourage you to call in. Dave and Sam, we have a listener who provides us a lot of information, and he has this comment I thought I'd throw out to you guys here this afternoon. He says, if the Wicked Witch of D.C. is elected president, figure that out, consider this. The Clinton Foundation is a worldwide corrupt organization. Chairman O has said that when he leaves office, he intends to return to community organizing. Of course, his basis of power is the Chicago machine. We are on the verge of our presidents being heads of corrupt criminal organizations, just like Russia and so many third world nations. We are at the tipping point where the United States will be ruled by crooks, and he says in parentheses, well, we are already there, or heads of self-serving organizations where contracts and decisions are based on pay to play. Actually, we are there. It's just that this corruption will become part of the cost of doing business and an accepted practice. The Bushes were guilty of this as well, although their contracts went to friends without the condition of donations. We are no longer a government by and for the people. And like I said, that's a comment from one of our listeners. We're not going to give his name. But Sam, your comments on that comment, my friend.
Gary, I think the writer hits spot on. Unfortunately, we have moved as a culture. We have moved within the positions of civil government to, rather than corruption, bribery, pay for play, which is a result of that, rather than that being an exception to the rule, Gary, I can tell you it has become deep set, integrated, and in fact, almost pursued, if not endorsed, by many. Does it remain illegal according to what the law says? Sure does. Does it remain immoral from God's law perspective? You bet it does. But have things changed so that what that writer talks about is or describes what we are and what is increasingly happening? The answer is absolutely yes. And I'll conclude by this. This is a result, Gary, of the nation, of those in office, positions of authority, throwing off the control of God's moral law and embracing the concept that we are a law unto ourselves, that we can determine what's right or wrong. And when that happens, there is no direction but down that a nation can go, that an individual can go, that a that in this case, our holy experiment of self-government in this nation, we have known it cannot go up under those circumstances, but it must be, it will go down under the circumstances. He happens to be very right. And if, in fact, the American people take and put people in place, or even entertain for a moment, unfortunately with many are, that someone who actually is described by these very things could even be considered for a moment as legitimate leadership, Gary, there is trouble on the horizon. Actually, the trouble is here.
Well, there is. And I just can't imagine that this individual who he's speaking of course, would be Hillary Clinton. I still can't imagine that she will be elected, Dave. I think that I'm sure she's going to get the Democratic nomination. But, you know, if she has any opposition at all amongst the Democrats, I think it's going to be rough going for her. And, of course, in the general election, it's going to be extremely rough for her. Everything she's ever done is going to be brought out. It will be a very, very dirty campaign. But I just can't imagine that the American people will elect her.
Well, Gary, it's hard for me to imagine that she's going to get the nomination. I have never been convinced since way back that she would be the nominee on the Democratic side. I am less convinced than ever right now that she'll get the nomination. But I noticed that our friend referred to her as the Wicked Witch of D.C. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, okay, well, then that's very specific. There are a lot of people that could probably be described by that terminology up on Capitol Hill. However, this is the Wicked Witch of D.C. But the fact of the matter is this. I think what Sam said, in all seriousness, is the part we need to underscore. When the lowest of the people that are lacking in integrity, they're lacking in ethics, they're lacking in a moral compass, it's sometimes called, when people like that are on the ballot and are considered by many on the Democratic side to be a shoe-in to win the nomination, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But again, gentlemen, you heard it here first. I'm not convinced she's going to get the nomination. In fact, I'm going to throw a name out, Gary, just to kind of mix things up here on Phone In Friday. I am wondering if Michelle Obama may not
be. Well, you've talked about that. It could be.
I have, and I'm going to keep on talking about it, Gary. No, I'm in all seriousness. I just don't think Hillary's going to get it, and I'm just wondering if this is not all a ruse to be a distraction, and at some point, someone else, possibly the First Lady right now, could end up being the nominee.
I'll tell you what, though, if I was Hillary, I'd be ashamed to even have my name out there, you know, to be honest. But, you know, Sam, our commentator here referred to Hillary Clinton as the Wicked Witch, and we sort of laugh at that. But you know what, Sam? There is wickedness and demons in high places in Washington and Harrisburg and other places in government. You know that?
Gary, I absolutely know that. And I can tell you, I know that from being in office. I mean, Scripture does tell us that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, spiritual wickedness in high places is manifested often by people who embody that. And that is a fact that we have to admit it's there.
Well, indeed it is. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we are going to have with us Jack Kranz, Executive Director of County Corrections Gospel Mission, Administrative Chaplain of Chester County Prison for 42 years, and the Chaplain of the Pennsylvania State Police. You will not want to go away. He'll have some great information for us. This is Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Gary Dull.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Army Day, Navy Day, and Air Force Day were combined in 1949 to become Armed Forces Day, celebrated the third Saturday of May. This day honors the men and women of all armed forces now serving under one Department of Defense. Army Day formerly was the date the U.S. entered World War I. Navy Day was on President Theodore Roosevelt's birthday. And Air Force Day was the date the War Department established a Division of Aeronautics. Secretary of Defense William Perry stated on Armed Forces Day, May 1995, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to defend it.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote by Sidney Sheldon. My heroes are those who risk their lives every day to protect our world and to make it a better place. Police, firefighters, and members of our armed forces. God bless America.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today on this Friday. And, of course, along with Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dull. Today is Phone-In Friday, and after the 12:30 break, we will be taking phone calls. And I would encourage you, if you want to call, just to give us a call at 1-877-667-1180. That, of course, is the toll-free number, 1-877-667-1180. Or toll-free around our flagship station, WFYL, in the Philadelphia area. You may call 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. And I think that we have Jack Kranz on the radio with us. Jack, are you there?
I'm right here on the phone. Yes, hello.
Well, hello. We are delighted to have you with us, and thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. And I'm going to defer to our dear friend and brother in Christ, Sam Rohr, to maybe further introduce you and get this segment underway. Sam?
Thank you.
All right, Gary, thanks so much. Yes, we're glad to have Jack Kranz with us. And Gary introduced you on the other side of the break, Jack. Yeah. And I'm just going to briefly say you have been involved in the criminal justice system for a long time for the sake of those folks listening to us. And you've worked within the prison system. You've been focusing on the problems in the criminal system. But you also have a significant involvement with police and law enforcement. So I'd like you to go briefly to... First of all, why are you focusing on the issues of prisoners and criminal justice? What would you tell us in these few moments that we should be most concerned about or thinking about in that area of the sector of our society, which is really an increasingly large area?
Yeah. Well, again, I'm almost reaching my 65th birthday, and at the age of 23, I walked into the Chester County Prison as a chaplain, and you can see the years I've had in there, but I can tell you, Sam, working in the jail, my first heart cry was to embrace the men and women who were locked up inside the prison. We've done that, we're doing it, and we could talk all day about what God has done from the prison, but it has extended into the community on several fronts. One, the fact that about half of the men in there are dads, about three-fifths of the women, actually about 90% of the women are mothers. And so we already learned you can't work prison without working with families in most crucial cities and neighborhoods, which is what we've done. We've also realized you can't work in prison without finding men and women who run the system, who run corrections, who run law enforcement, who have a heart for God. And so we could go on and on, but prison to me is almost like an Amos speaking to the church today. We cannot afford to neglect the fatherless, the poor, the issues of justice in this moment in history. And so I can talk to you any question you want to ask about inside the jail or why are we reaching police at this very moment for Christ, just like we are a prisoner.
If you could, Jack, go. I want to take one more step further in prison and then go to the police side of the equation. But what are you finding? We know that within prisons, there's a lot. It's a recruiting place for Islam. We know that. We know that a lot of things happen in prison. But what is the gospel doing in prisons in the kinds of emphasis that you're involved in there in Chester County, but also elsewhere across the country?
Where it's proven the greatest life change in any prison in America is coming with new generation people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most demanding issue we have in prison is, first of all, to bring the clear gospel of Jesus Christ into the prison every single day, bringing mentors inside the jail alongside of men and women in prison, discipling them to go back home, to be moms and dads, and to be change agents in their community. So we're bringing the gospel light into the darkness of prison every single day. And I can tell you that's happening in many prisons around the world. As a matter of fact, in Angola Prison in Louisiana, it turned the prison upside down from the most violent prison to one of the most peaceful prisons in America. Why? Because of the very clear gospel of Jesus Christ inside of Angola Prison in Louisiana, and we're working alongside of them as well.
Jack, I would say, and you referenced it earlier, that that the church should be involved. We have a responsibility as the church. Christ tells us to be caring and concerned about the fatherless and all of that. What is the role of the church is involved in this kind of outreach? Is it happening? And if it's not, why not?
If you ask me today, after 40-some years in prison, I will tell you what breaks my heart more than anything, and I say this with great love and awe for the body of Christ. I would say as a county chaplain, the greatest missing link in my county is not churches who want to come into prison, but churches that are right in the middle of these neighborhoods and families that have not recognized the mission field right outside their own red door. I'm telling you this morning, there's more going on in many major cities of other faiths reaching children, families, and ministering to them than we're doing as the body of Christ at this time. In my county, we need the effective work of Bible-believing churches in high-crime areas. There's no other way to say it. That's the greatest prison ministry I can tell you. The effective work of a Bible-believing church in a high-crime area. Without that, we are facing the end of this nation as we know it.
Jack, this is Gary talking, and, you know, you've touched on something there that's very near and dear my heart. The Bible-believing church in the inner city, in the high crime, the drug area, not really being the salt and light that it should be. What has led the churches to that indifferent, lazy attitude that many of them seem to be portraying? I mean, if they were doing their work in the inner city, there would be fewer people in the prisons, I'm convinced.
No question about it. Just look at it this way. The inner city, we know that, and I say this again out of love, but the legitimacy rate or illegitimacy rate of families, broken families, again, we're talking about the fatherless, we're talking about women that are struggling, not to mention drugs, et cetera, and just all kinds of sin that are just killing young families into the second, third, and fourth generation. The church, in many cases, has abandoned the inner city. And church steeples and church bell towers are being turned into prayer call towers for Islam. That is happening, and I fear that happening right here in my own backyard. And so it's going to happen unless God's people take missions very, very seriously. And that means if we fail at home, we fail. We cannot neglect those who are perishing nearest us. Proverbs 24, 11, and 12. This is a very convicting verse. I'll say it real quickly. When you see someone ready to perish, watching them ready to perish, do nothing to deliver them, knowing that your own soul is kept by God. Don't you know that you're going to have to give an account of that? Proverbs 24, 11, and 12. There's no excuse biblically for the Bible-believing church to say they're missions-minded and yet to neglect the least and the lost within the very red light district of their own county. That is absolutely inexcusable and sad.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that, Jack. But not only do you work with the with those in prison, but you also work with the police. And I guess there's probably been those down through the years who have asked that question. How can you work with both sides of the coin, as it were? I mean, I'm glad you're there doing that. But why don't you share with our audience what your work with as a police chaplain entails, and how effective is that as a ministry?
Well, it was a natural fit. You know, the jail made us start a rescue mission called City Gate. The jail caused us to create a ministry to at-risk kids, and it was very natural for us to have a burden for our wardens, our corrections officers, and absolutely in our county, the 55 police departments that are bringing men and women into our prison every single day, our sheriffs. And so we believe that, first of all, God ordained those who bear the sword. They don't bear it in vain. They're God's servants. But again, the darkness of sin has not only taken the lives of men and women in prison, it's taking the lives of corrections officers, it's taking the lives of police officers, and the brokenness of families is no less common to a police officer than it is in the inner city sometimes in families. So the gospel needs to go to all of that. And so our ministry has addressed that in a very holistic way. I cannot be a jail chaplain without a burden for the police in my region. I cannot be a jail chaplain without a burden and a ministry to the children that are least and lost and broken within my own county. And so the prison ministry we know is addressing all of that. But again, I go back to the most effective thing we need is the effective work of local Bible-believing churches that are literally ministering in the lives of the families outside their very door. That is missing.
I agree with that 100%, and we're just about out of time. Would you be able to stay over to the next segment, Jack?
Yes, yes.
And when we come back, I'd like for you to explain a little bit about the Point Man Leadership Institute that you're involved with.
We'd love
and
to.
Folks, if you have a question for Jack or anything else that comes to your mind, our phone number is 877-667-1180, or locally in the Philadelphia area, 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK-8255. And we would be delighted to hear from you. So in just a moment, we will be back. But on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. Don't go away. More yet to come with Jack Kranz.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama is offering condolences to families of six Marines and two Nepalese soldiers killed in a helicopter crash, delivering aid to earthquake survivors.
They represent a truth that guides our work around the world. When our friends are in need, America helps.
He spoke at the annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service.
Just a few days ago, two police officers were killed in line of duty in Mississippi. A week before that, an officer was killed in the line of duty in Queens.
131 officers died in the line of duty in the last year. Islamic State terrorists raised their flag in a new Iraqi city.
Three near simultaneous car bombings targeted government buildings in Ramadi, where Iraqi forces are battling ISIS. The attacks are part of a new push by the Islamic militants to capture areas that are still controlled by the government in the western Anbar province.
Fox News Radio.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
Hey, everybody. Stephen Curtis Chapman here. Very excited. I'm going to be coming on May 16th to Souderton, Pennsylvania for the Plumstead Christian School's 5th Annual Founders Forum at Calvary Church. And my wife, Mary Beth, is going to be with me. I'm very excited because it's not that often that she gets to join me for these kinds of events. But she is going to be with me, my bride of 30 years, Mary Beth Chapman, sharing some of her story and some of our journey together. She's written about it beautifully and honestly in a book called Choosing to See. And obviously, I'll be singing some songs and sharing some of my stories as well. So we hope you'll come and join us May 16th at Calvary Church in Souderton. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
For tickets, go to PlumsteadChristian.org.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we have on the line Jack Kranz, who, of course, is the Executive Director of County Corrections Gospel Mission, Administrative Chaplain of Chester County Prison. Not only that, but he has been, the Chaplain for the Pennsylvania State Police? I mean, this just goes on and on. But in addition to that, he's the Team Director at the Point Man Leadership Institute. And if you have any calls, or any questions that you'd like to ask, Jack, don't hesitate to call. Our number is toll-free, 877-667-1180 or 610-539-TALK. That is 610-539-8255. Jack, what is the Point Man Leadership Institute all about?
Okay, well, Point Man Leadership Institute is was started by Bob Vernon, Robert L. Vernon, who was the assistant chief of Los Angeles Police. 38 years there under Daryl Gates. Just months before the Rodney King riot, Bob left L.A. and basically felt a calling of God to begin to reach police for Jesus Christ and present opportunity for that around the world. And so he began Point Man Leadership Institute, which is basically just calling those that are out in front, basically confronting the enemy, and basically saying you've got to be men and women of character as leaders in police systems around the world, and you can't do that without a great relationship with God. And of course, we do it as much as we can to present the good news of Jesus Christ. Point Man Leadership Institute. It's in about 70 nations around the world. The average participant in the program would be a national police leader in nations like Liberia, all over the world. About 72 nations have participated. In our own county here, we've had our sheriffs. We're the first in the nation training our sheriffs. We've trained our chiefs of police. We've trained our prison. And we're continuing to bring opportunity to train leadership in criminal justice through this inspirational leadership seminar, which hopefully brings them to a place of decision for Jesus Christ.
Jack, this is Dave Kistler. I want to ask you a question about something you referenced in the prior segment, and that is this, that there is a prison in Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, that's commonly called Angola. Actually, that's the Louisiana State Penitentiary. And I'm just curious, you must know something to a large degree about what's going on down there. I know the warden down there is a gentleman named Burl Kane. He's been involved as the warden at Louisiana State Penitentiary for, I think now, in excess of 15 years. Could you comment a little bit about the literally miraculous thing that God has done down there? I think our listening audience would be beyond encouraged just to hear what God has been doing at that, what used to be the most dangerous prison in the United States of America.
Correct. And when Burl Kane took on the warden's job there, it was the most dangerous prison at that time. Actually, an officer was killed in a hostage situation almost in the opening of his coming there. But what's happened there is they began to just begin to discipline, bring a tighter ship. But in that, they brought in basically what they call moral transformation. They can't call it anything but that, but we know it to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I speak to you, the New Orleans Baptist Seminary actually has classrooms and libraries in the Angola prison. There's about 9 churches inside that huge prison of 5,000 men. Those churches are pastored by inmate residents who are doing life. 85% of the men in that jail will die in that jail because of life sentences, and yet they're seeing a movement of God in that prison. These men are not only students of the Word of God. God broke their hearts through reading of the Scriptures. They hungered after the Word of God. They've studied through experiencing God. These men began a ministry alongside of Awana called Malachi Dads, which is the turning of fathers' hearts to their children. These men in jail, many of them have fathered children. They've never been able to raise them, but God turned their heart to their children. And I'm just saying one thing after another, Angola prison is just raising a high, high calling to the church on the need for brokenness and repentance. And these men are literally teaching church leaders about repentance and brokenness and being the kind of dads we need to be. That's happening as we speak. Exemplary prison, peaceful, and now a women's movement as well is coming from other Louisiana prisons based on Hannah of the Old Testament, where she gave her child to the Lord Jesus, and we're bringing that to women in prison now to say, turn your children over to the Lord and let him have them. And again, just ongoing miracles.
You know, Jack, one of the things you referenced was what God is doing there. In fact, I want to say this just as a recommendation, and then I know we're going to go to Sam for a quick question. But I would encourage you, if you have been intrigued by what you've heard about what's going on at Louisiana State Penitentiary, there's an outstanding video called Miracle of Hope. Yes. Miracle of Hope. It is the story of what's going on at the Angola prison there in the state of Louisiana. Well worth your time. Have a box of Kleenex with you when you watch it, because you will cry tears of joy. But an amazing thing. Jack, one of the inmates there said this. He said when Burl Kane came here and became the tool God used to literally transform the most dangerous prison in America, he said it was the bloodiest place in the United States. Louisiana State Penitentiary. He said it's still a bloody place, but it's covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. I thought that was an outstanding way of describing it. And one other man said this: it is no longer just the largest prison. It is now the largest prison church in the United States of America, a phenomenal, phenomenal place. And so, friends, I'd encourage you to do a little more research on that. Sam,
and it's touching churches across the world. It literally is touching churches, and churches that will look that up can be literally involved in Malachi Dads in their own congregations and cities.
Dave, thanks for that question to Jack. And Jack, this is really, really, to me, exciting, exciting. We deal with a lot of issues on this program. Most of them, they're issues of the day. Most of them have a downside to them. It's problematic type thing. This is really, really good news. And I think our listeners are profiting by knowing about what's taking place here. Let me do the follow-up question here to you, though. You're dealing with those in prison. You're dealing with those on the law enforcement side. You're operating within the criminal justice system. We talk a lot about here about the role of government. One of the roles of government is to enact justice. We talk about criminal justice.
Yes.
Is our criminal justice system broken, as many people say? What about it is there that you could share is something that's being done right? Perhaps highlight the one area of criminal justice system right now that could be done better. Could you do that?
Yes, yes. First of all, I see and prison sometimes can move in trends. You can imagine in all the years I've been in there, it kind of goes from, you know, rehabilitation programs to punishment, back and forth, the pendulum swings. I would say to you right now, I believe the prison system in America has come to a place where everybody I know in the system really wants to see it stop growing. And one of the ways to keep the prison from growing, and this is what I'm hearing coming from inside a prison, I'm hearing this: we need an emphasis on family. We need an emphasis on the fact that these men and women are moms and dads. We're locking up moms and dads. Yes, they've committed crimes. Yes, they need to be punished. They need to pay their dues to society. But we need to recognize that we've got children's dads and moms in prison, and the system is literally almost begging now for the church to not only give mentors in the prison, but even more importantly, to begin to present faith-based alternatives in the community that will embrace the women, the children in the marketplace reflected by the prison. The system is asking the church to respond to the families of prisoners in the community. And they know that's the only great resource they really have that can make a difference. And that's what we're seeing. And so I would say what I think the system is doing right, they were ordained by God. Justice means the punishment of evil rightly and also the reward of those who do good. And so I really believe that the prison system should be corrective. It's our goal to see about 85% of our men in our prison get home in the next couple of years and to see them go back into society as men and women whose hearts are broken, not only over their sin, but really turned to their children and their families. And really, that's a picture of repentance. God's the one who used that picture in Malachi 4:6. If I can turn the hearts of fathers to their children, then I will not have to visit the earth with a curse. That's the last verse of the Old Testament. If God turns the hearts of fathers to their children, he would not visit the earth with a curse. The issue at this very moment is repentant leaders in our system, repentant leaders in our prisons, and repentant leaders or men and women who are sitting inside of our jail cells. And you know, Sam, you and I have met a lot about repentance and brokenness and what that means. We need to see a movement of God in repentance, not just inside a prison cell, but inside of pulpits and inside of police departments. Without that, forget awakening in this country. That's the need. Everyone needs it, and that's my prayer. Criminal justice, I think, is crying it loudly every day on the news. That's the prophet of this hour speaking to the church, the criminal justice system. I really believe
Amen.
It.
Jack Kranz, we appreciate it very much that you've been with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to get in touch with him, you can do so by going to Jack, J-A-C-K-C-C-G-M at AOL.com. I'll put it that way, J-A-C-K-C-C-G-M at AOL.com. Jack Kranz, thank you very much for being with us today on Stand in the Gap.
Thank you for the privilege.
Right. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more right after this, so don't go away. We would be delighted to give you some more information that will be a benefit to you today.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
When nations become proud and forsake God, their rulers will cease to rule in the fear of God and instead rule with oppression and self-serving interest. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible is clear that there are undeniable marks of unrighteous leaders. Isaiah chapter 1:23 says they're rebellious because they act as if they're God. They're companions to thieves because they use their positions to steal wealth and dignity from their citizens, either for themselves or to redistribute to their friends. And because they love to take gifts and bribes, they distort justice and refuse to protect the innocent or fairly apply the law to the poor or those of lower standing. So consumed with themselves, personal power, and greed, they turn their back on God, to whom they'll give an account someday, and instead give favored treatment to those with money and influence, rejecting the needs of the widow and the orphan. And God says He'll judge the nation where the leaders do these things. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you to think about this the next time you cast your vote.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.com.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I'm always struck at the time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. His ministry and his life were about to end. The armies of hell were quickly gathering in order to what they thought was to defeat him. If there was ever a time when he needed his friends to lift him up in prayer, it was at that point. Jesus was stressed, to say the least. His disciples had to have heard the agony in his voice. He later found them asleep. Listen, if there was ever a time in the world that needed Christ, it's now. I pray that we are not asleep with our prayers and our finances.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7? At 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. And, of course, we just had a great discussion with Jack Kranz, who's been involved with jail ministry, prison ministry for over 42 years, and that is quite a ministry. Dave and Sam, I know the church that I pastor, the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, has a regular prison ministry. We have a ministry every Thursday night at 8 o'clock in our local county prison, and it's very beneficial. We've even seen a couple of Muslims come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through it. And, you know, I would encourage any pastor to get their church involved in the prison ministry. It's very, very effective. But, you know, a number of years ago, and I think this was in Texas, Dave, and you've got connection with Texas. Maybe you know something about this. I don't know. But a number of years ago, there was a discussion on turning the prisons over to the churches, because of the fact that if you had churches that were committed to it, they would be able to give the gospel. And, of course, the gospel makes a big difference, brings people to Christ. It's, you know, it's the best rehabilitation that you can give, because if any man's in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And you remember Dave Kistler. You remember Dave Gorman, I believe, probably, one of our former district attorneys here in Blair County, Pennsylvania. He and I talked rather extensively about this, the idea of allowing the church to become more and more involved in the criminal justice system. I think that would work if there would be churches and Christians willing to do it. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, I'm in 100% agreement. And by the way, I do remember Dave Gorman very, very well. One of the first times I was with you, you did a service where you had elected officials, you know, in the service up on the platform sharing prayer requests. And Dave Gorman sat in the service along with others when I preached there one of the first times. So I vividly remember him. But yes, Gary.
By the way, he actually got saved while you were preaching that night.
You know what, Gary? I do remember that. Interesting time, and a really, really a great guy. I remember him well. But Gary, yeah, to go to your question, what's happening at the Louisiana State Penitentiary is now being duplicated in other places across the country. And if the church were more involved, we would see the prisons of America literally transformed. If I could give an example of this, I have been up in Ohio recently, and about 2 years ago, I was allowed into the Ohio State Penitentiary, was given a tour there. Ohio State Penitentiary is actually probably even a more secure facility than Louisiana State, because it's what's called a supermax facility. The inmates there are just the most dangerous criminals that have been removed from the streets of America. No two criminals are allowed to come in contact with each other, physical contact, at any point inside that prison. For example, when you go into the workout room, there is a plexiglass wall that divides the prisoners or the inmates from each other. They're not actually allowed to have physical contact with each other. They communicate through little holes drilled in that acrylic wall, and they are kept in isolation basically the entirety of their time there. It's an incredible place. But the minute I walked in, gentlemen, and met the warden, there was something about him. I just said, I want to ask you a question, warden. Are you at all familiar with Burl Cain at Louisiana State Penitentiary and what's going on down there? He grinned from ear to ear and said, Warden Cain and I are the best of friends. And he shared with me some other things that I'm not sure on the air about what God is beginning to do at the Ohio State Penitentiary. And so, Gary, look, the more influence there is with the gospel, and the more pastors, preachers are encouraged and invited into these locations to share the gospel, the greater, the more profound, the transformational nature of these inmates is taking place. The state-run programs cannot do that. They don't have anything to offer. But what we have to offer is the power of Jesus Christ. And again, I want to underscore, if you're interested in seeing a visual of what God is doing, pick up this outstanding video about what's going on down at Angola, the Louisiana State Penitentiary. It's called Miracle of Hope. And again, men, I don't think either of you have seen it. Please pick it up. And our listeners, I want to encourage you to do the same.
Well, I've heard you talk about that in the past, Brother Dave, and I think it's something that I do need to see, obviously. Sam, what's wrong with the church today? I mean, you know, what is it going to take to motivate the church to get out and get involved? Even as Jack said, you know, if the church in the inner city was doing its work, there would be fewer people in prison. What is it going to take for the churches, the good, solid, Bible-believing evangelical churches, to get about ministry in their towns and communities, and particularly the inner cities where there is such a need?
Don't hold back, Sam. Tell it like it is.
Well, Gary and Dave, I think it is two things. Unfortunately, the history of civilization, the history of Israel indicates that God's people oftentimes don't do what they're supposed to do until the screws get screwed down on them. They have to feel a little bit and experience the result of the withdrawal of God's blessing before they have a tendency to look up and begin to do once again what God says. That, unfortunately, is the nature of man. On the other hand, programs like this today, that for those who are listening, gives a demonstration of the power of the gospel in areas that have generally been off limits, more or less, or forgotten, is itself a matter of conviction and, I think, encouragement. Gary, just as the church has not spoken into civil government because they've said it's not really for us, they've not done work within the area of the prisons, which is exactly what Jack Kranz was talking about. Understanding that when it's done, we see God's blessing is an encouragement and hopefully a conviction at the same time. Now, you may have been hoping for, I would say, something else on that, but I think it's a combination of both of those things. I don't want it to get worse before it has to get better. That's why we try to proclaim the truth here and say there is a way. The scripture does speak about all of these issues. Here are examples of what God is doing. The press will never carry what we just covered here with Jack. It will never report these kinds of things, yet it is happening. It's the power of the gospel, biblical principles. Obedience to God's word always works, gentlemen.
Yeah, Dave, we're running out of time rapidly here, but, you know, Brother Sam made a statement that I historically agree with, that the Christians, you know, really don't do what they should do until it gets kind of tight on them. But is the state of the church today such that even when it gets tight, they'll still be negligent?
Well, Gary, yeah, there's some churches that will not get the message and not wake up until it's too late. I mean, all we have to do is look through the scriptures and see there is a biblical history of people not even responding when God's judgment begins to fall. However, I want to say this quickly, Gary. I am seeing a return on the part of churches, pastors, believers in the pew that indicates to me people are beginning to wake up. And so I am holding out great hope. We're going to see God do some phenomenal things in the days ahead. So I'm not discouraged at all.
Pray for the churches, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you for joining us today on Stand in the Gap. The Lord willing, we will be back again Monday. And until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl saying, Stand in the Gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.